Welcome. The contents of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several sources. I'm going to start with this article from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of This is 70. Catching up with Candace Bergen. After starring in iconic movies in the 60s and 70s and helping define female empowerment in her TV show Murphy Brown, Candace Bergen will turn 80 in May and has a new role in the Apple TV comedy Shrinking. What's a priority for you these days? My grandchildren, ages 3 and 5, I love just sitting on my couch watching movies with them because they're sort of together. It's my joy. You were the caregiver for your husband, Marshall Rose, who died from complications with Parkinson's disease in 2025. What's the best advice for caregivers? Take tiny breaks for yourself from time to time. Short lunches with old good friends. Do things to keep yourself normal. How do you feel about your big birthday coming up? Oh, God. Oy, I'm in denial. I don't even want to talk about it. Being 80 is just unfathomable to me. You feel like you're always felt, except you walk in a little bit slower and more carefully because you don't want to fall. So stepping off a curb is a big event for me. You had a bike accident. Do you have any lingering problems? The bike accident. I fractured my pelvis, which was a new kind of pain. I actually saw stars. You can't move. It's too painful. I had great care at a hospital in New York. You made a huge cultural impact with the show Murphy Brown. Playing Murphy was such a gift, and I just always made the effort and insisted on her not being too tough and being kind at the right end of the night. Do you have any regrets? No. I don't believe in them. Also, turning 80 is not what it used to be. My father died at 75, and I remember thinking, well, that's a full life. I'm 79, and it's not a full life. I count on being there for my grandson's graduation from high school, hopefully my granddaughter's. That would make me almost historic. And this was as told to Gail Carter. And then under the heading of Pop Culture, we have Down at the End of Lonely Street on May 5th, 1956, Elvis Presley first topped the Billboard music charts with his first single for the RCA label, Heartbreak Hotel. The bleak tune was inspired by a story in a newspaper that quoted a suicide note, "I walk a lonely street," or so said co-writer Tommy Dundon, who brought the article to May Axton, a 41-year-old English teacher with whom he would write the song. But it appealed to Elvis, who was red hot after his early gyrating appearances on national television had riveted teenage girls, and in 1956 would prove to be the year he redefined popular music in America. Next, we have this little sidebar. Fit for life, and we're still under This is 70, although it could apply to 82. Why simple tasks feel harder at 70 plus, and how to fix it. Does walking to the mailbox or climbing stairs leave you winded? You may be experiencing a decline in VO2 max, a measurement of your body's ability to absorb and use oxygen while exercising. The good news is that even in your 70s and olders, measurable improvements are possible and crucial, says Dr. Benjamin D. Levine, founder and director of the Institute for Exercise and Environmental Medicine at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas. Here's what Levine's fitness plan tells us. First, get into the mindset that you must be active at least 5 days a week every week. 2 to 3 days cardio. 30-plus minutes. Walk, swim, cycle, or row at a pace where you can talk but not sing. 1 day. Joyful movement. 60-plus minutes. Tai Chi, dancing, a walk, do something that you enjoy. One day, high intensity, cycle, row, or swim as hard as you can for 4 minutes. Then slow your pace for 3 minutes. Repeat 4 times. And finally, 1 to 2 days a week, strength training, Pilates, free weights, or exercise bands will help preserve muscles and balance. Levine says you can expect a 15 to 20% improvement with the first measurable changes happening within about 3 months. Don't let aches and pains deter you. If your knee hurts, swim instead of walk. Consistency matters more than perfection. And this was by Barbara Hannah Grifferman, author of Love Your Age. Now I'm going to switch over to AARP The Bulletin and an article that we started last week. And as I said then, it's pretty long, so we won't get to all of the rest of it today, but we will maybe next time. And this is entitled The War on Diabetes. Science has given us new tools to prevent, control, and even reverse this killer. So why are more and more of us falling ill? We're looking at breakthrough number one. More affordable obesity drugs. Galen Cornell used to graze when she was bored, or sad, or lonely. I probably had a Hershey's bar every single day, says the 68-year-old retired real estate agent from Turlock, California. She was medically classified as obese. In 2024, when her doctor told her she had diabetes, Cornell started using the GLP-1 agonist Ozempic. She has lost 93 pounds, and her blood sugar has dropped to the low end of the pre-diabetes range. It's amazing, she says. My brain tells me I'm full and I'm done eating. Midlife and older adults are flocking to the GLP-1s. According to an October 2025 study, roughly 1.7 million Americans age 45 and older have tried Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound, or other GLP-1s. Among those with diabetes in ages 3 through 50 to 64, and 1 in 5 ages 65 plus used a GLP-1 in 2024. Beyond weight loss and help managing blood sugar, the drugs can also reduce risk for diabetes-related heart problems and worsening kidney damage. GLP-1s are injectables that prompt your body to release more insulin, lower blood sugar, reduce appetite, boost satiety after eating, and slow stomach emptying, helping some users lose as much as 20% of their body weight or more, and if they have diabetes, reduce their A1C by 1 or 2 percentage points or more. A significant improvement. One GLP-1, tirzepatide, excuse the pronunciation, lowered risk for progressing from prediabetes to diabetes by 94% in a recent study. There are downsides. Half of GLP-1 users in a September 2025 Danish study stopped within a year because of high costs or side effects like nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. And even with private insurance, 54% of GLP-1 users have struggled to pay, and 19% were saddled with the full cost, which can top $1,000 a month, according to a 2024 national poll. But new federal pricing and coverage rules aim to make GLP-1s affordable and available to more people. Under a plan announced by the White House in November, the GLP-1s Ozempic, Wegovy, and Zepbound would cost about $350 a month instead of $1,000 or more before discounts. A GLP-1 pill, if FDA approved, would have a $150 monthly price tag, at least for the initial dose. And the plan would expand Medicare coverage, which in 2025 covered GLP-1s only for diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and obstructive sleep apnea. to include obesity as well. The Medicare copay would drop to $50 a month for Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound. Another factor to consider, there are concerns that rapid and dramatic weight loss could threaten muscle mass and bone density. For older people, losing 15 to 20% of their total body weight, there is a real risk from losing too much muscle mass, which can lead to fragility, falls, and fractures, said Dr. William H. Herman, an endocrinologist and professor at the University of Michigan School of Public Health in Ann Arbor. Still, the drugs could be helpful for some older adults struggling with obesity and its health risks, and ought to be covered by more insurance plans for a greater array of conditions, specifically obesity, said Dr. Ann Peters, director of the University of Southern California's Clinical Diabetes Programs. Obesity is like high cholesterol. It leads to serious health problems. We need to be at a healthy weight, not skinny, in order to be healthy. If you need a medication for that, why shouldn't you get it? Now let's look at a sidebar with this part of the story. Aging and type 1 diabetes. At age 91, Don Ray has been living with type 1 diabetes for 86 years. You can control diabetes, but you have to be the boss, says Ray, a retired salesman from North Royalton, Ohio, who, with his wife Penny, 87, has four children, 11 grandchildren, and six great-grandchildren. It's like baseball. You have to follow the rules to play and play to win. When Ray was a kid, his parents sharpened stainless steel needles and sterilized glass syringes for his daily insulin injections. Checking his blood sugar levels four times a day involved boiling a blue liquid called Benedict's solution, adding 8 drops of his urine and 8 drops of water to it, and then looking for a color change. Today, Ray uses a continuous glucose monitor and an insulin pump. I'm not going to die from diabetes. I'm going to live with it, he says. I call it livabetes. Like Ray, people with type 1 diabetes, an autoimmune disease that destroys the insulin-producing cells in your pancreas, are living longer and healthier lives due to treatment advances, says Dr. Betul Hadapoglu, medical director of the University Hospital's Diabetes and Metabolic Care Center in Cleveland. I have patients living 60, 65 years with type 1 diabetes, she says. Older adults can also develop type 1 at age 60 or later, but the condition is too often mistaken for type 2 diabetes and not adequately treated, said Dr. Eden Miller, a diabetes specialist in Bend, Oregon. There are peak times when people develop type 1 diabetes in childhood, the teen years, and young adulthood, but also later in life, she says. If you've been diagnosed with type 2 and your lifestyle and medications don't keep your blood sugar under control, it's worth asking your doctor if it could be type 1. And now let's take a look at breakthrough number 2, diabetes prevention programs that work. Elpidio Gutierrez was hurtling toward type 2 diabetes, job stress, grab-anything meals, and long hours behind the wheel helped push the Chicago taxi driver's blood sugar into pre-diabetes in late 2022. The disease had claimed the lives of his younger brother, a cousin, and the grandmother who helped raise him. Gutierrez, 68, signed up for a year-long class run by Chicago-based Erie Family Health Centers, a local resource for the National Diabetes Prevention Program, NDPP. I want to stop the cycle, he says. It's incredible how diabetes can destroy the well-being of the whole family, physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. I want to be a role model for my children. He adopted the motto, Poco Taco Mucho Zapato, a prompt for him to eat less and move more. Gutierrez cut back on second and third helpings. He started having oatmeal, fruit, and almonds for breakfast some days and ate more beans and vegetables at lunch and dinner. He walks 4 to 5 miles several times each week. When he overindulges, like at a recent wedding in California, he gets back on track. "I'm not looking for perfection, just moderation," he says. Gutierrez, now retired, lost 17 pounds, and lowered his A1C from a pre-diabetic 5.7 to a normal 5.5. His numbers have stayed within a healthy range. "I feel good," he says. "I know I can control my health." Nearly a million Americans have tried the NDPP, a research-proven, insurance-covered, drug-free lifestyle change and weight loss program. In a landmark 2002 study, the program lowered diabetes risk by 58% for people with pre-diabetes and by 71% for older adults. Modest weight loss, losing 5 to 7% of your weight, modest increases in physical activity, like walking 30 minutes 5 times a week, and limiting saturated fat while eating lean protein, fruit, and vegetables lowers risk for diabetes, says Dagogo Jack, one of NDPP's original researchers. Since 2028, Medicare has covered the year-long program, now available online and in person at hospitals, community centers, and houses of worship across the U.S. To find one, type Medicare Diabetes Prevention Program into your web browser. An added benefit: in a 2024 University of Michigan study, participants spent $4,600 less on health care over 2 years compared with people with prediabetes who did not go through the program. Don't wait for your doctor to suggest it. In a study of 26,000 New York City residents with prediabetes, just 10% were referred to NDPP classes. The classes are fun and interactive, and you form a community. People stay in touch for years afterwards, said Ashley Pickering Brown, Director of Diabetes Education and Technology Services at the Joslin Diabetes Center in Boston. Support helps a lot. And then here's a sidebar about wearing blood sugar monitors. Continuous glucose monitors have made daily prick tests unnecessary. There's a tiny microsensor monitor that monitors blood sugar in a patch that you wear, and then the results are sent right to your telephone. So with the time we have left, I'm going to continue on with AARP, the magazine, and the section This Is 70. This one is under the heading of fashion, stylish at the beach or pool. Options to make summer and fall outings stress-free. Shopping for a swimsuit or pool wear can be daunting at any age, but being 70 plus doesn't have to increase the angst. Sandra Davidoff, Director of Corporate Marketing and Public Relations for Miracle Suit, says people over 70 still want to look their best. For women, fabric, technology, and strategic design details in bathing suits can make all the difference, she says. Look for features such as tummy control panels, built-in bust support, wider straps, and sufficient rear coverage. Michael Suit's best-selling Oceanus One Piece offers all of the above and is available in sizes 8 to 24 and with double D and triple D cups, and the prices range from $172 to $184. Landsend.com offers a Find Your Best Fit guide for women's swimsuits, organized into categories such as bum coverage, chest support, and control level. The selection includes rash guards with long sleeves for some protection and skirted features such as the women's tugless high-neck swim dress. And that sells for $135, and it's good for more coverage. Target sells an array of affordable one- and two-piece suits with built-in figure-flattering features in standard and plus sizes, such as the Shade and Shore Women's Shirred Tummy Control Square Neck Fall Coverage One Piece, Full Coverage One Piece, that's $45. For menswear, there are fewer parameters to cover. Hal Rosenstein, founder of the Happy Grown Up podcast and newsletter, says, "First, you have to admit your body at 75 is not the way it was at 35. That said, he recommends square-cut trunks with waistbands that fall just below the navel and lengths that range from the upper to mid-thigh. Closer fits are better than loose styles, which emphasize loose skin. If you aren't fit, keep it solid and simple. But if you have a rockin' body at 70, by all means wear a Speedo if you like. In addition to briefs, Speedo offers classic men's trunks, such as the Lookout Valley or Volley 16-inch swim trunks at $76. Polo Ralph Lauren's 5.75-inch Traveler Classic Swim Trunks and Seersucker at $99, and Old Navy's 7-inch inseam trunks at $30 are smart alternatives. When it comes to cover-ups, shirts, and beach hats, look into online brands that offer clothing with built-in sun protection, such as L.L. Bean, Tommy Bahama, and Cool Bar. Older skin is thinner and more sensitive to UV rays. The bottom line, one of the joys of getting older is not caring so much what other people think. Be grateful for the body you've got and protect it." Now let's look at saving at 70 plus, downsizing the right way. Maybe you can make a few bucks while shedding the past. Your wedding china, the quilt your mother made, the cherry wood dining room set where holiday celebrations were held. To you, they're priceless. To your heirs, they might be encumbrances. They're not interested in inheriting or even a giant burden they'll have to deal with after you've gone. Laura Olivares, co-founder and president of Silver Solutions, says too many people take the attitude, "Let them figure it out when I'm dead." But there's a recipe for stress among heirs, she said. So how do you separate what is worth selling from what should be donated? Look for special pieces, high-end brands, unique and useful items. Those are your best bet to sell, says Polly Ann Blythe, owner of Polly Ann's Vintage Market in Mount Vernon, Iowa. A local vintage shop owner might do an assessment for you, or you can find a reputable professional at appraisers.org, the website for the American Society of Appraisers. Olivares and Blythe recommend donating stuff with limited value to local thrift stores as a way to feel good about shedding the past. Sell record albums, art, especially original artwork. The frame might be worth more than what's inside it. Barware, like decanters and beer signs, lamps, quilts, tools, vintage kitchen items like McCoy pottery and Pyrex, wooden furniture, especially mid-century modern. Donate dishes and glasses, knickknacks. Most mass-produced collections items are too common to be valuable unless you have rare pieces. Most clothing, although vintage clothing is hot, says Blythe, especially men's. Small appliances and household gadgets, tech like computers and cell phones, and upholstered furniture. Now, this article is entitled "The Buddy I'll Never Forget: Veterans Tributes." We honor the men and women who served, those who serve today, and the friendships they forged in war. And there's a number of articles here. Let's start with the Vietnam War Sergeant Victor Locke. This is by Colonel Albion A. Bergstrom. A New Englander who was awarded a Purple Heart after being wounded on March 25, 1971, Bergstrom, 78, earned 3 Legion of Merits, a Bronze Star, and other decorations while serving in Vietnam and afterwards. Today he is a professor in the Joint Military Operations Department at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. I started college at Boston University, and the ROTC program was a way of serving my country. I didn't think that I would end up in Vietnam, but it sure turned out that way. I took over an armored cavalry platoon. Sergeant Victor Locke was my track commander, which meant he was in charge of my command vehicle. In an armor or cavalry unit, a leader needs to know his people. You don't have to be loved, but as long as you're respected, things work well. The basic unit is 50-plus soldiers. Their lives depend on your ability to be a decent leader and to listen to them. Victor had a previous tour in Vietnam and a lot more experience, so I came to trust him for his advice. That turned into a long friendship. He called me LT for lieutenant, and he clued me in on things I needed to know. He would say, LT, so-and-so seems to be down, or LT, the platoon sergeant is doing a great job, but could use better backup. He was from Oklahoma. I was a farm kid, and Victor appreciated that because he had a country background also. As a farm kid, I was more aware of being outdoors than a city kid. When we were moving through territory, Victor would sometimes say, I seem to have a sixth sense, like what the enemy was up to or when there might be an ambush. I had a lot of men wounded in my unit, and after I left, two soldiers were killed. But I never lost a soldier. I wanted to bring everybody home alive. We grew up seeing a lot of World War II and Korean movies about all the great battles. It gave us a baseline of what our forefathers had done. I still feel that we served our country well. Victor got out of the service, and I had a family. But by the time I retired in 1999, he was dying of cancer. Agent Orange took its toll. We dedicated my retirement ceremony to him. At the time, my daughter Victoria was 6 months old, and Victor thought that was cool that we had named her after him. The day after my retirement, Victor passed away. He had been living in Arizona, and I flew out there. The last time I wore my uniform was for his funeral. I'm thankful every day that I'm alive, and I am grateful that I was able to serve with such great soldiers. And now a few saving tips on groceries. Grow your own herbs. One basil or cilantro plant costs $3 to $4, and provide fresh herbs throughout the season, eliminating the need to buy them at the supermarket and delivering even better flavor. You can easily chop fresh herbs to freeze in ice cube trays. Even frozen and thawed, they still taste better than and have more flavor than dried herbs. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.